Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. It's been very intense, but I think I've found my stride, but I'm still here. The kids are still alive. I am loving my three-year-old age, and I found for both my kids that they were off probably by a good 6 months in terms of terrible twos and, you know, all the behavior that crops up. But she is just leaning into herself. This was the first full year where my now eight-year-old could do camp. And so we did all the camps, which I'm not going to do again. It definitely made for an interesting summer and lots of fun conversations. And I've seen her mature. So the eight-year-old has really leaned into her maturity, and the three-year-old is fully in her personality. So I think it is a lot to take because both have very strong personalities, but it is fun to be in the moment. I don't think that I realized what it would entail because this was our first year of doing full summer camps. Mm-hmm. And we did four camps, I think. It was all the paperwork, the same paperwork, and mm-hmm. the carpool lines and trying to time it to get out of the house. Who needs a lunch and mm-hmm. how many snacks and who needs COVID testing? So it definitely was mm-hmm. a lot. And so next year I will probably tweak it. So we did talk through which camp she liked and which camp she did not particularly care for. And so we'll make adjustments next year. So now that summer is over, my first question is, how do you prepare for sending your kids back to school? So this year took me by surprise. I think we started a week earlier. My daughter turns eight, usually 2 weeks before school. And I usually have a bit of a grace period. But this year, we were all the way up to the week before. We were going all the way up to the Friday before the Monday school start. And so I was not as prepared as I usually am, just in my mind. It came on fast. And so I usually prepare because we start getting the emails from school and you start categorizing the emails, trying to figure out what you need, where's the supply list. Mm-hmm. And then luckily, I guess my school district doesn't give out teacher assignments probably until the Thursday before the Monday start of school. But there's not a whole lot of panic. It is what it is at that point.
Yeah.
And then so it was full steam ahead. I had plans for what I was going to do in terms of school shopping. And I realized that back to school is different for our kids than it was for me. Back to school was a big deal. You do your back to school shopping. You want to wear fresh new clothes, your new shoes on the first day of school. There is not a whole lot of that right now. My daughter rolls from summer with summer gear into fall with summer gear. And there's not a clear, oh, this is crisp, this is new. It is just, this is comfortable, this is warm, this is nice. So I did make a few adjustments to our schedule for this year because life just happens and you just roll with the changes for the period that you're in. Mm-hmm. And so last year I tried because I always wanted to have one drop off. One kid was in daycare, one kid was in before and after care. And so I realized that I was rushing to get out the house to drop my one kid at before care so that she could literally ride the bus and I didn't have to drive her the 7 minutes to school. And I'm just like, So last year, the second half of the year, I tried dropping her off at school, which was quite the experience. The kiss and ride is no joke. It is not for the faint of heart. You sit there, it's just like, tuck and roll. You got your hand on the seatbelt? All right, tuck and roll. All right, I'm out. Peace. Right? So that's drop off. this time around, I got hit with a tax assessment. So I needed to adjust my budget. And so what I dropped was aftercare, which, because I work from home most of the time, I can legitimately pick my daughter up from school. Mm-hmm. It cuts into my day a huge chunk, but I can do it. So I'm trying it and I find that I like it. Seasoned moms would always tell me, when you pick up the kids from school or after school, that's the most chatty that they're going to be. Just be quiet and let them chatter. And I do. And it is wonderful. And so she's mm-hmm. loving school so far. And she's just so full of information, so full of energy when she gets in a car. But the kiss and ride, that is what I had to spend the week trying to figure out, because by the time school gets out at 3:35, but you don't want to get there at 3:35. Otherwise, you're going to be half a mile down the road. Oh. So I have to get there. I have to leave at 3, get there to sit and not idle. So mm-hmm. I take my laptop with me. I respond to emails while I'm waiting, mm-hmm. but I'll come back to this point. And so then I have to pick her up. But I tried on Monday to pick her up, come back home, then pick up the baby. And I'm just like, by the time I get done with the kiss and ride, it's almost 4 o'clock. I mm-hmm. get home, pick up the baby by 5. So I literally came home to drop book bags and burn my gas to go back where I just.
Yeah, that's not efficient.
So now I'm picking them both up by 4:30 and coming back home. So then we take a family break. So mm-hmm. from 3 to like 4:30, I'm doing mom stuff, getting the kids settled, getting them picked up. And then I pick up with the second half of my day, mm-hmm. which for some reason feels a lot easier and a lot less intense than working straight 8 hours. I guess the yeah. change of scenery, the change of sensory change really works for me. Before we get out of the kiss and ride conversation, let me just tell you, I am so glad I did kiss and ride the second half of last year, because it is hilarious watching the newbies, right?
Oh,
not wanting to go to the end of the line, not knowing yeah. what's going on. And we all sitting in our cars, like there's a whole audience watching you be like, you blocking an intersection. You ain't lucky today. And so, oh man, it's quite hilarious. But so there's that. Okay. All right. All right. Shopping hacks. Back to school. What'd you do? What are you doing? Okay, I'm not too far from an outlet mall, so I take my kids and they would enjoy that. I don't do a whole lot of ordering kids' shoes online just because mm-hmm. the fit and what have you. But a hack, now I don't want to name particular stores or companies or what have you, but if your kids are at the age where 8 and 9, I think is a good age where they're very opinionated, set mm-hmm. up a wish list. Have them add stuff to their wish list. And then that just makes it easy for you to go through and be like, this is their style. This is what they want. If I can find that, great. If not, then I find the style. And so I'm finding my 8-year-old is starting to become more particular about what she wants to wear. And then lastly, I used to not really like the supply list. I'm in a public school. And mm-hmm. so we do get the CVS receipt size supply mm-hmm. list with like,
which is crazy. Which it's like glue has to be a certain type. And you're like,
yeah. If parents mm-hmm. who can't don't. So I don't stress necessarily about getting everything on the list. I mm-hmm. get what I can find and I might get extra because mm-hmm. they pool the resources, mm-hmm. get stuff, classrooms get stuff. And then throughout the year, they let parents know what they're running low on. So mm-hmm. now looking at it from that perspective, I really definitely appreciate the supply list. And I do my best. I don't stress over it. This year, I took my daughter with me and she was like, Mommy, this is like a scavenger hunt. I was like, yes. Now go find those 3-pack of glue sticks. Yeah. So she enjoyed it. So that's my approach to supply list. But quick question for you, because this was a conundrum for me. What do you put in the backpack? You go to the school, you drop it off. But exactly. I found myself on Monday. Okay, we got notebooks and pencils. And so my daughter's looking at me like, what is this? You're going to school. I have issues with you going to a place of learning without tools for learning. And so she's just looking at me. I'm like, put the pencil and the notebook in your backpack and go, right? Because now she's in third grade. So they don't even really do snacks, right? And So I will tell you what was a shock for me going from not having a kid in school to having a kid in school for the first time. Remember to tell them to eat lunch. I picked up my daughter the first day from kindergarten. And she was like, mommy, I'm hungry. You didn't send me, mommy, I'm hungry. And I was just like, oh, okay. Did you have lunch? She was like, yeah, I had lunch, but it wasn't enough. I'm hungry. And I was like, okay. So I went to look at her Lunchbox account. Mm-hmm. She didn't buy lunch. I said, why didn't you buy, what did you eat? You didn't buy lunch. She said, I ate what you sent me in my lunch bag. I sent her a snack.
She's like, you didn't tell me that.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? She ate yogurt and a cheese stick for lunch. And nobody, who's there helping these kindergartners get oriented? So I know we have a lot of moms who listen to the podcast, who have kids who are probably fairly young, a few years at least before you start school. So what advice would you offer to the moms who are waiting to send their kids to school about school choice, like the neighborhoods and the types of schools you want to send your kids to, what kind of research they can do ahead of time as they have a few years before their kids enter school? I would even go back further than that. I say, think about while you're pregnant, how you want to raise your kid, what values are important to you, because for me, that informed everything I did after that. It informed where I lived, how I lived. I rented until my child was school age because I wasn't sure of the school districts. I was new to the area. I just wasn't sure. And where you live and where you buy is going to really impact your child's school experience and your experience as a parent navigating that school system. But once my child was going into school, I had a better idea of what I wanted in a school. I was able to do research. So I researched the different school options. I researched the different programs in the schools. I'm big on diversity, both racial, ethnic diversity and socioeconomic diversity. So those things factored heavily into my choice of where I sent my child to school. And so we are going to a school that's outside of our zone. So that means for the next 8 years, I'm going to be driving her in. But I would say, do the research and start early. Start around age three about looking at the different schools, because a lot of the programs, before you even enroll your kid in a kindergarten for your district, those programs will come out probably a year, 6 months earlier. Sign up for the lottery. If you wait until it's time to take your kid in through the school doors, you have already missed. Those lotteries might only come around that kindergarten year and first grade year, and then they're off. So I would say do some research on the different school districts. If you have the opportunity to purchase a place to live, wait until after you've done that research, and then go ahead and purchase. So that you're in school district, you can take advantage of all of the amenities, but make sure that the school, the district, the community that you choose aligns with your values and how you want to raise your kids. And last but not least, best believe when you enter the school system, it is literally like going from the frying pan to the fire. School Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasnc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.